From the heart of Big Ten country, Los Angeles, California, Ryan Abraham and David Woods present the Podcast of Champions.
Welcome, my friends, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7, not the 24/8. No. The 24/7 Sports Network.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com. Also, part of not the 24/8 Sports Network or the 24/9 Sports Network. That's a good one, though. Part of the 24/7 Sports Network, yes. And together we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things Big Ten football. There are approximately 118 teams from the Big Ten play the bowl games, but we're going to focus on just the big ones, the tippity top this week. We're doing previews for the next few bowl games, and they have to be playoff games, and there are three Big Ten teams playing in those games. So that's what we're going to focus on today. Probably be a fairly quick show. We say that, but then it's not because we do a lot of weird stuff. But we're live on YouTube. We're live in your hearts and minds and souls because you want to talk Big Ten football. You want to talk playoff football. You want to talk Indiana against Notre Dame in the snow football. We got it all for you today. I'm excited, David.
I've never been more excited in my life. And there's so much else going on. There's the transfer portal. It's active. You know,
it's very active.
You've got a lot of teams picking up commitments. And then you've got whatever USC is doing over there. Not picking up commitment.
They got a running back from New Mexico today.
Hey!
Yeah.
That's exciting.
They got a couple. They have like two group of five additions and like 16 or 17 scholarship players gone. Storage unit says, how have you been sick for 2 months?
It's a wasting disease. I'm getting back into my trim shape.
Mm.
Slowly just wasting away, though. You know, it's tubercular. Very slow.
Love it. We have a fun one. So Matthew says, what's up? Max says, Master Woods, if thou wouldest enlighten us to what manner of peculiar mischief doth befall the fair USC. Master Abraham, thou art likely bidden to join the discourse, should it please thee.
So glad you asked, Max. So what's currently happening is that USC didn't have enough money to fire their head coach. And they're now in the position where they have a head coach who I think maybe like partially doesn't want to be there, but probably still does. But I don't think any of his players, the fans, or frankly the donors want him there anymore. And certainly no recruits do. So what you end up with is everyone trying to leave as quickly as humanly possible, including any player with, prospects. I mean, it'll be interesting to see who they hold on to. I saw a very interesting graphic of the depth chart from the beginning of the season and with blue marks for guys who are leaving because they graduated or going pro, and red marks for those who are leaving to transfer. And it's like, I don't know, three starters left, something like that. It's not good for
it's tough because if you want to, you know, obviously USC had I'm sure they had a great season. I don't remember, but if they had a great season, then you got to replace a lot of those guys to get back there, right? So, like, say if you have to replace everybody to get back to the heights that they were.
Yeah, just to get back to the sixth. Those huge heights, right? Like, this was a bowl team. And getting back to that level, that's going to require a lot of work here in the transfer portal. Lincoln Riley doing great. He's doing great over there at USC, and we should all be pulling for him.
Alex, Dave living his best life with the peristyle and Wildcat Authority both in full meltdown.
It's amazing. It's
Arizona basketball is bad, right? Like
Arizona basketball is in dire straits. I won't even call them bad. They just have lost every game they needed to win to make a tournament case. And now they go into Big 12 play where, things are a little bit harder than they used to be in the Pac-12. I think they're going to go like 500 this year and probably miss the tournament, but still be like a KenPom top 35 team, which is really funny. And UCLA went in there with a bad team and beat them. It was great.
They were like,
I'm not a bad team. Sorry. With a team that is flawed in some ways and didn't play very well in that game and still won. It was great. Yeah.
Destiny, Ryan looking rested and healthy, maybe 38 years old. David looking like a 58-year-old project manager at a pest control company.
That's how we rock, baby.
Thanks. We have a voicemail later, but we're going to play it. We need to do a little research, which, you know, we'll try to do for the next show. So I think it's an evergreen enough voicemail. So we can play it next time from our, you know, resident Rutgers fan. If you want to email us, and we don't have a lot because we just did a show like a few days ago, Big10Cast, all spelled out, at gmail.com, or call or text us at 424-532-0678. You can tweet us at B1G Podcast. And then the Apple Podcasting app, we love that. You know, if you listen to our podcast that way, you can follow us over there and rate us with a 5-star rating. Rate us with a rating. Yeah, that's what you do. But also leave a review. And if it's funny enough, we can send you a Trader Joe's gift card. I have some Trader Joe's. So I sent a stack of gift cards out because I gave some away on the Peristyle podcast too. And John Brea sent some. Oh, and I have, dummy, I have yours with me, but you're not here. So I'll leave it here for the next time you're in studio.
That'll be Monday. Monday, everyone.
We're going to do another show. So we'll leave it here for you. But John Brea sent a bunch. So I had to. So Dylan in Albuquerque, everyone that was due a gift card, if you emailed me, I sent it out yesterday or today. It was yesterday, I think. So perfect. So you should get it soon. Hopefully. I know it's the weird stuff with the mail, but we would still like to give out some more. And I have some news. We're going to get some more gift cards of denominations, TBD. Ooh. And I'll tell you what those will be during our bowl previews. But do we have any new reviews?
We have one.
Okay.
This is from our friend For Emmett.
Okay.
Ohio State. This last podcast mentioned a few times how great Ohio State is and how they will be favored versus Oregon if it comes to that. Explain that silliness. Ohio State lost to Oregon this year. Ohio State, in its very last game, was humiliated at home against a 500 team. They looked horrible. Their QB looked horrible, and their coaching was horrible. There is currently no top 8 team that has even one loss, yet Oregon is undefeated with 3 wins against top 10 teams. The best, they beat OSU in Columbus in 21. What more do you want? They are underdogs against Ohio State, the 8th-ranked team who didn't show up in their biggest game 2 weeks ago. It's a madhouse. Makes no sense. Is anyone watching these games? I'll tell you what, for Emmett, the reality is, and this is a sad, sorry case, is that people, you know, largely don't determine what the lines are. Computers determine the lines. And for the most part, Ohio State is ranked, power ranked in those rankings ahead of Oregon. Just the way it is. I don't think it's as stark as it was when they were road favorites at Oregon earlier in the year. But neutral site, I think they're probably still going to be like a point or two favored over Oregon. So just the reality of those stupid numbers, man. But now, who would I take on a neutral field? I'm taking the man Dan Lanning, of course.
Yeah.
But what the computers think is different.
And it's funny. I mean, what happened last year, do you remember? Like, what kept happening? Washington kept beating Oregon, but Oregon was always favored. Oregon was power ranked ahead, but Washington kept winning. So we've seen this happen before. I think it's a lot to do with the talent on the roster. People looked at Oregon and said they are more talented than Washington. And then Ohio State has a shit ton of talent on that roster. Sorry, Griffin. And that's why.
So right now in the SP Plus, which is not always, but kind of hews somewhat closely to the actual rankings, he has Ohio State number one overall at a 29.1 rating and Oregon at number two overall at a 28.7. So what that would spit out for his system is on a neutral field, Ohio State favored by half a point. So, yeah, I mean, I think they'd still it'd probably end up a pick 'em, I guess. But, yeah, it'd be close to that.
And then if you look at the, at least the last I looked, college football odds, like to win the championship, I think Oregon's tied for first, but Ohio State's tied for third, you know?
Yeah.
So they're just, people still are, you know, optimistic or whatever. Or they just feel like Ohio State's a really talented team. And I don't think anyone would be shocked if they went on and won the national championship. Like they stunk, you know, it was a 1-point crazy loss to Oregon on the road. That's a really tough place to play. Completely excusable loss, but the one at home to Michigan, outside of Michigan has your number. So we'll see. I mean, if they make a run, I don't think a lot of people would be shocked at that.
I'd be surprised. I mean, Chip Kelly is still their offensive coordinator.
That's true. And you picked the wrong time that you'd hate on him when he was doing well, and then you'd like back off on the hate and he would stink and you're like, damn it, I should have hated on him.
The lesson is always hate Chip Kelly and you won't be disappointed at the end. You'll always feel disgusted with yourself in those moments where you don't hate him, and hating him but having him do okay, that's fine, because you still were right. You were still righteous. But not hating and then having him suck, it's just the worst feeling.
Yeah. We are live on YouTube. And so we don't have a lot of email questions. We don't have a lot of games to preview. We don't have any games to recap. So it'll probably be a fairly short show. If you have questions, you can put them in the chat. And if you would like and subscribe to our channel, that would be amazeballs. We would really love it. We love all the interaction. So there's people active in the chat right now. So thank you for that. I will try to look over and put any interesting comments on the screen. But if you have a question, you can write question in the front and I will start. We'll get back to it later.
All right.
Yeah.
Shall we get to it? Should we rock it to it?
So we have to preview. Yeah. Crazy that there's three first round games that the Big Ten is involved in. So we're going to go through one by one. I mean, this first one, to have the first ever expanded college football playoff game that's going to be, you know, two teams in Indiana, like in the snow, like it's pretty good. Like that's a pretty good debut. Like this is like a strong, I feel like we're putting our best foot forward if you're an advocate for the expanded college football playoff. I know you hate all the whatever stuff, but this is pretty cool. Like we're going to get some cool stuff. So I'm excited about this. Are you a little bit excited about this?
I'm excited for the games themselves. I think the structure and the format sucks, but I'm excited for meaningful games. I just, you know, it's just as it pertains to the regular season, you know, I hate that Ohio State's involved. Like, I don't like that. But we get more meaningful games at the end of the season, and yes, it's because we've now assigned them a different sort of meaning. But the funniest thing about all this is you've got guys opting out from these teams, and they're supposedly playing meaningful games. Like Bo Prabula, the backup quarterback for Penn State, who plays in every single game, won't be here. Won't be playing.
That's a weird one.
Because he had to enter the transfer portal. And so, you know, whatever meaning we ascribe to it, for some of these guys, still bowl season, baby. Still moving on.
And that, I mean, the calendar is still a problem, right? Like having free agency during the playoffs is like the NFL wouldn't do that.
It's why professionalization doesn't fully work at the college level because the school calendar doesn't change. It's not like you can enroll in February. So if you want to enroll for the second semester so you can get started with your team in the spring, unless you're on the quarter system, hey, prospects out there, if you want to go to UCLA, they're on the quarter system. But you've got to wait. You can't wait. So the end result is you've got to make a really, really hard decision, a really tough decision, but it's interesting to see what guys are prioritizing. I don't know if did we see this to this extent with the 14 playoff? I don't know. But with Penn State being the sixth seed, suddenly you've got, you know, a defection that's actually important. Yeah. I don't know. Interesting.
A real defection. And so what we're going to do is there's three games to preview. We'll do that. We have we'll make our picks against the spread for all three of those games. Going into this, my overall record for the season, we picked every game that had a spread for. I'm 69, 57, and 1. David, 65, 61, and one. So I'm four games ahead. He's got a lot of opportunities to try to catch up. And we do our picks over at MyBookie. If you haven't tried them out yet, make sure you go over to MyBookie. And when you do, if you want to try and put a little juice on some of these games, use the promo code POC for Podcast of Champions. You can use our old one too, Pac-12, if you want. But POC, the main promo code there, and they will match your initial deposit. So if you put in $50 or $100, they will match that, and you'll have twice as much money to play around in. Follow along with our picks, what you like. You could do over-unders. You can do in-game betting, which is fun. They even have a live casino option, which I get to go to Vegas for USC's bowl game, so I'm excited about that. Do a little live casino action. But you can do all that over there at MyBookie. So go against us. You can fade us. You can follow along. You can just pick what you like, whatever you want to do. And it's not just college football, of course, NFL, NBA, all that. You can bet over at MyBookie, because you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only at MyBookie.
Beautiful. So
we get into the previews?
Let's do some picks, baby.
All right. So I love that there's like a Friday night playoff game. We have number 10.
Indiana Hoosiers.
Hey, folks. I'm from Indiana.
Taking on the number 7, Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Oh, give me my pot of gold. This is at Notre Dame. 5 p.m. on ABC. Both 11-1. Should be snowing, or at least snowing during the day at some point. Probably no accumulation, but has the forecast been wrong before? Absolutely. Notre Dame is a 7-point favorite. I've been to Notre Dame. You've been a time or two, correct?
Many times, yes.
I would not describe it as a hostile road environment.
No.
I would say the fans are generally pretty docile, and it's not definitely not the most raucous environment I've been in. It's a cool place, and everyone should go. It's like a little pilgrimage you can take to college football Mecca. But it's not like some SEC stadium. I don't anticipate a huge home field advantage for Notre Dame in this game. Cold weather, how does that impact that highly efficient Indiana passing attack? I think that's a question. Does this become more of a defensive slog? That's a question. But it's not as if Indiana's defense has been bad this year either. They've been quite good. Notre Dame's defense is obviously very good. But I see this. I don't see. So right now it's a 7-point game. I don't see a 7-point game. And I think, you know, the important thing to understand is that it's once again, who's Indiana's head coach?
There's this guy.
He knows the score. He gets the women. Cignetti kills.
Yeah. I think he still kills. And I know he didn't kill against Ohio State, but pretty much every other game he kills. And Notre Dame, they've got some talent. They are not Ohio State. They lost at home to Northern Illinois earlier this year. Indiana is a different sort of beast than most of what they've faced this year. So give me the Hoosiers plus the 7. I don't know if they win, but I think it could be like 21-17.
All right. I'll give you my thoughts on this, but we got some interesting comments in the chat. Mm. Matthew says the average age of an ND fan in the crowd is dead. That's from Brandon. I thought that's the average age. Well, Robert had a question for you. Why is one side of your mustache 50 times more gray than the other?
Such a great question. I have aged rapidly in the last like 4 years. I have aged so much, and it's like part of my beard is not even catching up with the other part. It's incredible.
Yeah. Our buddy Dustin E says, Andy's going to wipe their leprechaun arses with IU. Cignetti kills unless he's facing a top 20 defense. And I kind of agree. If you look at Indiana's offense, has been awesome. But in the two real teams they played, I think they were averaging 3.5 yards a play against Michigan and Ohio State. And Notre Dame's defense is up there. So I don't think it's going to be a great, you know, home crowd advantage, but the average get in price for this game is the highest of any early round game. It's $1,000. So you got two teams in state. I think there'll be a bunch of Indiana fans there. People are really excited for this one, but I just get the feeling that this is going to be, the offense isn't going to look as good in the cold weather against a really good Notre Dame defense. And that's a defense I saw USC put up like 500 something yards on in the Coliseum. But I'm going to, this is a weird one. This is tough. I haven't picked against our good buddy and pal.
He knows the score. He gets the women. Cignetti kills.
But I'm going to take the Fighting Irish and lay the 7. We're going to go different on the first game out of the gate.
Wow.
Are you surprised?
I'm very happy that you're comfortable being so wrong.
Our friend Destiny says he struggled against Michigan. He did. Eric agrees with you. I like Indiana's game too. They actually played Ohio State closer than the score. Two special teams, terrible mistakes, and a late cheap TD by Ohio State would have been 21-15 or something. So I mean, this will be a fun one right out of the gate. I think it's supposed to snow. It's like 20, 25 degrees and snowing and stuff.
Well, it's not going to be like a snowstorm. There's supposed to be light coatings throughout the day, but no major accumulation.
All right, so we're going against each other on the very first one. The very first expanded college football playoff game ever. Should be, I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, so let's move to Saturday. We have in action number 6.
Penn State Nittany Lions. Rawr.
They are taking on the number 11 SMU Mustangs. Sure.
I love
like, hey! You know, something like that. Anyway.
Yeah, that's probably better.
Yeah, that's probably better.
I like effort number 2.
Yeah. 9 a.m. on TNT. Number 11 SMU, 11-2, going on the road to Beaver Stadium to take on number 6 Penn State, also 11-2. Penn State is an 8.5-point home favorite here, which feels crazy to me. So it's going to be, this one may actually be snowing during the game. These really great planning to have all these be home games, by the way. Great. Great, solid work, everyone.
You like it, right, or no?
I mean, I think it's nice in theory. I think when they end up all upper Midwest teams that are hosting home games, it ends up really shitty. Like, we all like the idea of a snow game, but then you actually watch one, and it's like, this is brutally weird, and the result ends up being, like, just kind of a slog, and... You know, like if it's a real snowstorm game, like real like flurries and stuff, and it's just that's going to happen. Might happen this weekend in one of these games. And it's just like, I don't know. If the whole idea is we're trying to make this process better for determining like the best teams, like playing in conditions that none of these teams regularly play in. And yes, sorry, Big Ten listeners, you don't regularly play in this. It's like every now and then. But you know when it gets more like that? In late December.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this is stupid. Just go play it in an indoor stadium. But anyway, this game.
I love this, though. I like
it. Yeah, of course you do, because you're a moron. I love you. All right. So, SMU, obviously, we haven't watched a whole lot of SMU this year. They're a good team. They're good and solid, kind of on both ends, but much more of a defensive team than an offensive team at this stage. They're really good against the pass. Pretty good against the run. And then offensively, they don't really run the ball that well, but they pass it okay. Penn State, pretty damn good on both sides of the ball. Offense is highly, highly efficient. Defense is pretty good. Not great against the run, better against the pass. I look at this one, and I see James Franklin being very willing to just slow this one down and just try to pound it and trying to just kind of basically just play keep away and try to grind it out. I think he's shown a willingness to do that in the past. And I think SMU is good. Like, I don't think they're fraudulent at all. I think it's a good solid team that absolutely could win this one on a neutral field. I don't see them going up there and winning, but I do like them to cover. So give me SMU plus 8.5.
I'm going to follow you on this one. I do like SMU. I think Penn State's going to win this one. I think the people talking about James Franklin not being able to win the big one. What is his record against AP top 10 teams? He's 4-17. But I think this is a lot of those are brand teams, and this is not a brand team, but this is a good team. And I think they have a very good run-stopping defense, and I think that could be a problem for Penn State. But I feel like this is one of those games where, like you said, it might be a slog. It's, you know, yeah, could a couple turnovers happen or weird special teams plays, and then Penn State wins, like, you know, 28-14 or something. Yeah, but I kind of think this is going to be close, and it's going to be like a one-score game. So getting 8.5 points, which I think could be a more of a slog, I feel like I'm going to go with SMU. I like Penn State to win. I think they're going to win this one and advance, but I will take the points here and feel pretty good about it.
All right, sounds good.
We got a super chat. Ooh. Exactly one West Texas Mike from Exactly West Texas Mike from his deadbed for Pot of Gold. Deathbed. Oh, is he not feeling well? Hope you feel
better. He must not be feeling well. Hope you're feeling better, West Texas Mike. But thank you again. You are a gentleman and a scholar, and your good looks are only exceeded by your generosity.
Yeah, and let me know if you're going to come to the meetup in Las Vegas. So any POC listeners that are going to be in Vegas, we're going to do a tailgate before the game on Friday the 27th for USC and Texas A&M. Very good brand name game, but probably won't be a very good game. But yeah, we'll do a tailgate over at Flankers, which is the walkway from Mandalay Bay right over to it's a great spot to watch again. I'm very lucky that we get to go back there again. But
I'm very happy for you.
You should come out there, man.
I'm not coming.
Why not?
It's just not happening.
Okay. So El Gordo says take SMU in the points. Franklin keeps stumbling. I don't know. And Destiny says SMU speed will cover. So yeah. All right. Well, we got that one. Okay. So this one, we got one more game to preview. We're agreeing on SMU Penn State. We are disagreeing on Indiana Notre Dame. Let's see what we do in this one. Should be a lot of fun. Number 8.
The Ohio State Buckeyes.
They are hosting the Tennessee Volunteers. I guess I'll go down there and fight for Andy Jackson. I like that one. I think that's my favorite one. It's a deep cut because you would think Volunteers has to do with the Civil War. No. No, it doesn't. Volunteers has to do with the War of 1812 and the Tennessee Volunteers who volunteered to fight in that very stupid war, which was an extension of the Napoleonic Wars. Did everyone know that?
I didn't realize that, yeah.
Yeah, it was an extension of the Napoleonic Wars. Somehow we got dragged in for some damn fool reason and ended up fighting and getting the White House burned down. Anyway, go Bruins. 5 p.m. on ABC, number 9 Tennessee, 10-2. Traveling to Columbus to take on number 8 Ohio State. This is another cold weather game. The latest forecast indicates that it will snow the day before, but potentially not on Saturday, so this could be a clear-ish weather game. Ohio State is a 7.5-point home favorite. Look, Ohio State, by the numbers, is one of the very best teams in the country. They are probably the best team in the country. Defensively, they have, for my money, the best defense in the country. They're really, 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 really good against the pass, and they are really, really, really good against the run. Offensively, they get prone to some Chip Kellyism, which is, you know, not great. Tennessee, though, is a contender for also having one of the very best defenses in the country. Right now, I think they're number 3 in the SP Plus. If you just go by success rate, they are number 1 overall. This is a very tough nut for Chip Kelly to crack, and he's stupid and bad at his job, so I don't know that he's going to be able to do that. Tennessee, though, offensively, is he hurt?
No, I think he's playing.
Wasn't he hurt for a while? No? Okay. Well, anyway, he's playing. Dylan Sampson's really good at running back. Yeah, again, I'm taking the points here, buddy. I know it's a cold weather game, and I know that should be advantage Ohio State, but I do know that Chip Kelly coaches for them, and because of that, I'm taking Tennessee. I think there's a decent chance of the upset. I think Ohio State might have been a little demoralized at the end of the regular season, And, you know, Ryan Day being an extreme try hard, he might have this team very tight coming into this game. So give me Tennessee.
The Vols are only giving up like 2.8 yards per carry, like top four nationally. We've seen, I think Nebraska shut down Ohio State's run game, and Ohio State won that game, but it was struggle bus. And I feel like this is going to be the best sort of defensive front that Ohio State has faced. We're people talking in the chat, like, don't overreact to one game. I am not overreacting to the Michigan game. I still think this is a team that can make a run and win a national championship, but I'm not going to pick them to cover 7.5 points. I mean, there's certainly a non-zero chance that Tennessee goes in there and wins, but I think it's much more likely that this is a close game. Even a touchdown win by Ohio State, I'm still covering. So, like, that would be a pretty good win over a very good Tennessee team that can do a very good job of shutting down something you want to do, like running the ball. What does Chip Kelly like to do? Run the ball. If you're trying to, like, run against a brick wall, would Chip Kelly try to run it more? Yes, he would do that. Absolutely. Right. So I feel like there's some stubbornness factor here, and I like Ohio State to win, but I'm not going – just too many points for me. So I will take the points in this one. So I picked against the Big Ten in every game.
Damn, look at you.
Well, one of them with Notre Dame. But, yeah, the other ones are just like a lot more than a touchdown spread in a playoff game. So I'm going to take the points in those, and this should be good. So what's at stake here, besides our picks, what I told you from what I got from John and Brea, is he's going to send 12 gift cards, and I can read it exactly like what he's saying there, but it's going to be based on, he says, in honor of the con man, Chip Kelly, we will send you 12 gift cards equal to how many points Ohio State scores versus Tennessee for you to give away. So, you get, Dave, I don't know, you want like more value to these gift cards? Would it be funny if it was like two, like they get a safety or something in this game? We have to send out like $2 gift cards. Like the stamp is like almost as much as the gift card is worth.
I think that would be funny. I think we should aim for that.
But yes, so some gift cards coming. If you want to leave a review and win one of these new gift cards, just root for Ohio State to score a bunch of points. If you remember our last two denominations, UCLA put up 17 points against LSU all in the first half, I believe. And so we had some $17 gift cards. And then Washington only gave up 31 to Indiana. And so that's where we had some $31 gift cards. And this one will be determined by how many points Ohio State scores. So that's something to think about while you're watching. Could be betting over on MyBookie. But if you want, you know, Ohio State, if you want one of those juicy gift cards from Trader Joe's, just root for Ohio State and Chip Kelly, Dave's boy, to score a ton of points.
My beautiful boy.
Yeah. All right. Why don't we take a quick break?
Let's take a quick break. The quickest of possible breaks.
And we will come back. All right. Back in a minute, everyone. Alrighty.
Alrighty then.
We are back, David.
Yeah.
What are we at? 43 minutes into this show? How far are we in?
We are 35 minutes.
Wow. In. This is pretty quick. And we don't have much.
Tightest show of our lives.
It might
tightest
be.
Tightest show of our short lives.
I think we only have one email.
Wow.
You want to read it? It's very short. Do you want to read it?
This is from Kevin. Associate head coach. What exactly does an associate head coach do? Is it just a reason for a pay raise? They don't do anything. It is just a reason for a pay raise.
Yeah.
You'll often see also a title that's called passing game coordinator. And you would think, oh, that's an offensive title. No, no, sir. It is not. It is a defensive title. And it also doesn't mean anything and is just a reason for a pay raise. Assistant head coach also doesn't mean anything. Just a reason for a pay raise. oftentimes special teams coordinator doesn't mean anything and is just a reason for a pay raise. There's a lot of things that don't mean anything and are, in fact, say it with me, just a reason for a pay raise.
Yeah.
There you go.
You need titles. It's funny. Josh Henson, who was USC's offensive line coach and offensive coordinator.
Any relation to Jim?
I don't believe so. Mm. I didn't ask him on his thoughts on the Muppets, but I was a big Muppet fan growing up. He leaves for Purdue. Let me pull that one up there. Where am I blanking? Oh.
Purdue Boilermakers.
Just stretch it out a little bit. He's going to be the new offensive coordinator there at Purdue. Uh-huh. Barry Odom gets hired from UNLV. We already talked about this. Goes to Purdue. And they have a relationship. And some people were like screaming, like, why would you be the OC at USC and move to Purdue? And again, like David said, just for a pay raise, he was the offensive coordinator at USC, but Lincoln Riley ran the offense and called the plays. He was not the offensive coordinator. At Purdue, he will be the offensive coordinator.
So that's a reason. But let's all be real here for a second.
Yeah.
Last offseason, Lincoln Riley was able to convince sitting head coaches to come be his position coaches. And by that, I mean one guy. But he was able to do that. He was able to convince a defensive coordinator who was calling plays at UCLA to come on over and be a defensive coordinator calling plays at USC. This offseason, he's losing his offensive coordinator to go be an offensive coordinator. Slightly different deal. It's a slightly different deal. And I think we should all acknowledge that, too, that the rats leaving this sinking ship are not just the players. I think if this guy, what'd you say his name was, Josh Henson?
Yes.
If he thought that the star was still rising at USC, he would stick at USC. Because if you're Lincoln Riley's offensive coordinator on a good USC team, someday somebody's going to take a flyer on you to be their head coach. That's going to happen if the program's going well.
Like Eric
Bieniemy. But it's not going well, right. Which is why he's going to Purdue. You know where dreams go to die? Sorry, Purdue fans, earmuffs. Purdue.
He might have been fired, though, because like their offensive line was kind of bad. But they actually got better.
Yeah, but then didn't they just hire the guy?
They just promoted from within, yeah.
Yeah, they promoted their tight ends coach who...
That always goes well.
Who's married to their recruiting coordinator or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
There's some nepotism.
This all sounds great. No notes. No notes whatsoever.
Yeah. We had a question from Colt. Is Lincoln Riley just Andy Enfield? No, because like Andy Enfield had one Sweet 16 run for a small school. And then
guys, come on. You're missing the big thing. He's skinny Chip Kelly. We've already done this. We've done this a bunch. That's exactly who he is.
Prior success.
He doesn't know how to build a program. He knew how to run one that was inherited, but he doesn't know how to build one. He's got a fancy little offense that's slowly getting outdated probably and requires some very specific parts that he seems to not understand. I think you probably need a mobile QB, buddy. You probably do. A lot of people were telling you that before the season, and you still went with Miller Moss, and then you made the switch midseason, and frankly, Jaden Maiava is not good enough to do it, too. You needed a different guy. You needed to go acquire a different guy in the transfer portal last offseason, dummy. Lincoln Riley's just Chip Kelly. They went and did the exact same thing, only they spent like $11 million a year to do it and saddled themselves with like it's not even Albatross. Albatross doesn't do it justice. They have saddled themselves with cement shoes and they are jumping into the ocean. Like that's what they have done. Until they are out
trying to swim, that,
it's going to be the funniest experience of all of our lives.
All right. We got a super chat. Dylan from Albuquerque, money for stamps. Please send my gift card from two shows ago. I haven't received it. Like I said, it's in the mail, Dylan. You have a handwritten note and a gift card, and it's in the mail. So
beautiful.
I sent it out yesterday, but thank you for the stamp money. I sent a lot of stamps yesterday. Matthew had a question in the chat. Again, if you are in the chat right now, we're pretty much out of questions. We have a couple more in here, so just ask one if you want. Otherwise, we'll let you know, we'll get out of your hair. He says, what's your bold prediction for the college football playoff? Love you guys. Well, we love you too, Matthew. Thank you.
My bold prediction? Like, who do I think is going to win? Is that what we're asking?
No, just any bold prediction. You could say, like, Notre Dame goes two rounds, or SMU upsets, you know, Penn, like, whatever. Like, what do you think? Something bold.
We want to get crazy? Let's get nuts. I think SMU goes to the Final Four, whatever you call it.
Okay, that's a good one. I'm kind of leaning towards an Ohio State run.
How do you feel about ASU?
Who they play? They have a bye. So they
have a bye, and then they play the winner of. Let's pull up the bracket.
Yeah. I think I have the bracket here.
I got it. ASU plays the winner of Texas and Clemson. They could absolutely beat either of those teams.
Yeah, I think Penn State's going to make a run. I think Penn State's potentially going to the national championship game.
No, but that's the thing. We know Penn State. And so Penn State understands that they've got a really easy path. So what is going to happen to Penn State?
Yeah.
They're going to lose to SMU.
Mm.
Right?
I could, yeah.
Look, I was a Penn State believer preseason. I had them in the playoff. I had them in the conference championship game. But I've also watched a little too much of James Franklin coach football now. And it's opened and closed my eyes in different ways.
Gotcha. Oh, we got another super chat. Let's go. Eric, can you please preview a hypothetical game between 2022 Colorado and 2024 Purdue? The game will, of course, be played in hell, which is a neutral site.
Jesus. thank you, Eric.
So Colorado 2022 was like we were on triple digit watch for offensive yards, right? Like we were like, can they get over 100 yards?
So Purdue's bad, and I don't mean to say but Colorado 2022 was the worst football team I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think Purdue's wiping the floor with them.
Like, name their starting quarterback, Ryan.
I don't know. Oh, who was the? I forget.
JT Shrout.
Okay.
And then Owen McCown started a few games too.
Yeah.
Amazingly enough, that was not the Brendan Lewis year. The Brendan Lewis year, I think, was the year before where he was throwing like 15 picks.
Yeah.
That was such a bad team that somehow still beat Cal, which is just such a funny commentary on Cal. Purdue, like by the numbers, may actually be worse. I'm not totally sure. Let's look up where were they in the final SP Plus, because this can be a determining factor. So Purdue ended up 122. Let's do final 2022.
I mean, SP that Colorado plus team was so bad.
That Colorado team was really, really bad. Very similar. So Colorado was 124 in the SP Plus. They were a minus 20.2. Purdue this year was a minus 17.8. So, yes, my instinct was correct. Colorado is a worse team from 2022, but it is close. Purdue has just seemed a little livelier at different times this year. You know, they did have that massive comeback against Illinois.
They scored 49 points in the one game. Like,
I got to go Purdue. I think Purdue's favored by 3 in that game.
I mean, Purdue might have scored 49. Like, that might have been more points than Colorado scored all season, you know, in that one game that Purdue lost.
Do you remember what that year was? It was us, like, kind of getting the hang of Colorado after a game and then just picking against them no matter what the spread was.
It was like when we picked Indiana in every game this year. We just picked.
Yeah.
There have been like, the spread's 21.5. Like, okay, we'd up to 35, I would take.
There have been 3 years like that. There was the Stanford year. I think it was the Stanford year, the final year of David Shaw, where it was like, oh, no. That team sucks. And we had that one right from the beginning. Colorado 2022, I think it took a game, but then we were right on board with that one. And then Indiana this year, where it's just been like, oh, this is the easiest pick in the world.
Yeah.
Purdue favored by 3 and probably win by 15. Carl Durrell's a horrible coach.
Yeah. I love it. That was good stuff. We got our friend Christopher. who we watched the game with.
That's right, baby.
At OB's. He drove like 3 hours to come watch a game with us, which seems kind of weird, you know, LA traffic time. I questioned some of his decision-making after that, but that's fine. He said, will Jerry Neuheisel be a better head coach than his dad, and where will he get his first opportunity?
I think he would be a better head coach than his dad because Rick, I think Rick probably had more ego coming out of his playing days and then being an everything kind of handed to him a little bit early. And I think he just never got the kind of humbling that you need. I think Jerry having to work his way up a little bit longer, you know, he's already in his early to mid 30s. I don't think he'll be a head coach until he's probably 40 something. He's had, I think, a little bit more seasoning. The problem for him, I think, is really that he's spent his entire coaching career so far, save, I think, one season at UCLA under, you know, in some of the worst situations UCLA's been in. I think he needs to branch out. He probably needs to go work for somebody else. He probably needs to go, you know, learn somebody else's offense. But I think he's got some good qualities. I think he's a good you know, he's a good energy guy. He's a great speaker, great recruiter. And it's just, I don't know if he can manage one side of the ball. He's never done coordination. And not that you need to. I think a head coach can do without. It just helps to have that experience of running one side of the ball. So, you know, doing full team like talks and like being able to talk to like a whole side of the ball and doing all that, I think is beneficial in your growth as a coach. As for where he'll get his first opportunity, at present UCLA hiring rates, probably UCLA, you know, but realistically he should go work for somebody else and then go get a lower level job and then, you know, show something, but that's, you know, that's not going to happen. It'll probably be UCLA.
Taylor says, depends on the glove situation. Yes.
That's right, baby.
True.
It's all about the gloves.
I do think, I mean, he seems like a good coach. It's probably better to go somewhere else and get, you know, see what, so, you know, another program does, especially like if you're a football coach and you've spent your entire career at a basketball school, go in a place where like they prioritize football a little bit more for a bit would be good. So you don't want to be like football coach at a basketball school only. You want to go somewhere else too. I think just get some more experience.
I have a note, a basketball note. Doug Gottlieb, you're familiar with Doug, correct?
I am. I saw a little Twitter beef with him and Shefty.
Doug, Shefty who's an idiot,
destroyed him.
Doug, who's an idiot and a moron and a bad person, he took the Green Bay head coaching position in college basketball, and obviously Green Bay is run by morons because they hired him. He maintained his radio show because
he's
an idiot.
He's not doing his radio show too, right?
He is. Doug, after their last game, which was their seventh or eighth straight loss, I believe, after their last game, was pontificating afterwards because he's just, still just a radio host. And he said, yeah, I don't want to schedule these teams like this team coming in, nobody you. And then, you know, and then said some nonsense about having to, you know, it being cold outside or something. Anyway, it was moronic. But he basically just denigrated this opponent that's coming in, this D2 team, Michigan Tech. And then D2 team Michigan Tech came in there this morning and beat that ass. He lost to a Division II team. He should be fired tomorrow. Yeah. I don't care where Green Bay is situated in the world of college basketball. He is horrible. He is trash. He's always been trash. He's never been good. I do not understand how he has a career talking about anything because he's so bad. So bad.
So you don't like him?
Not a big Doug fan. Not a big Doug guy. Doug and Seth Davis should start a radio show in hell calling the Purdue and Colorado game.
Yeah, he got in a Twitter beef with Shefty, and Shefty just like just top roped him, just absolutely dunked on him. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
It was pretty good. I was just like going bananas and yeah, it is weird to have your radio show and then talk about it. I guess he talked on the radio show about like going back and forth with Shefty, and then he thought he got too personal. It's like you like attacked him, and then he came after you. Like if you can't like poke fun at somebody on Twitter, and then when they get back at you, be like, oh, that's mean. Like, well, you did it. Like, you know, it was just really weird. I forget what the initial tweet was about, but
yeah.
But listening to D2 School is pretty freaking funny.
Pretty hilarious.
All right. Well, I think that's it. I think that's all we got. Yeah. Anything else, David?
No, that was magical.
Yeah. We appreciate everyone. You're watching.
Appreciate live. The super chats. You guys are all awesome.
Yeah. It's very cool that we got to, experience another day of talking Big Ten football. Just, you got to count your blessings, David. And we get to do this.
We got
playoff games. Three freaking Big Ten playoff games.
Three playoff games. Three exciting Midwestern football games in the middle of a driving snow. It's going to be sweet.
Yes. I know the one that's not is like Texas, you know? So it'll be like, it'll probably be like 60 degrees in Austin or something, which is fine.
No, it'd like be funny if that one ends up being the freak snowstorm.
That would be, yeah, some like tornado or something.
Yeah.
You've been to Austin, right? Or,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Do you go to a game there or no?
I went to the UCLA-Texas game in 2010.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. USC played there like 2018, I think, or something. Yeah. But I've been to Austin a bunch of times. I did like a reality show like down there like a long time ago. That was weird, but it was fun. I like Austin, just a cool city. A lot of fun stuff to do if you like going out.
Yeah.
I mean, at 58 years old, I don't know if you like going out anymore, but.
No, I like to take naps.
Well, why don't you go take a nap?
I'm resting for the long sleep.
Yeah. Sweet. All right. Well, Matthew says, great show, guys. Thank you. Thanks everyone that was in the chat. Thank you for listening. Please like and subscribe wherever you are. You can follow us, the Podcast of Champions. Tell a friend. I mean, we assume most of you guys love our show, don't have friends, but if you did have one or made one at some point, you know, let them know about
tell another one of your personalities. Tell, like, yeah, that's, you know, a good point. Yeah,
and that counts as an extra subscription. Yeah,
yeah, then they can watch the show. Like, leave a note for one of your personalities when they come to the fore, then they can watch the show too, and everyone can enjoy it.
Yeah, Shane's wife, who does all our drops, she left us a review last week, so I got to send her a gift card. She emailed me, is like, I'll take the gift card, but she didn't leave her address. So I don't know if she was just worried that the resident Rutgers fan might hack into my email point. And get the address, but I did get it. She sent it by Telegram, so it can be hacked. And her can you hack a Telegram? I don't know. But her gift card's in the mail too. So
excellent.
If you had a good review and we said you won and you sent me your address, your gift card is in the mail. And if not, send us that email. Let us know. For David Woods, I am Ryan Abraham. Hope you all enjoyed the show. Happy holidays, and we will talk to you next time.
Goodbye.